Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hello there, my rebels of the Sherpalution. How you doing? It's another week of Too Many Podcasts. And it's me, of course, Jim, the podcast Sherpa. Thank you so much for joining me this week. We had a couple of heavy topics these past few weeks, so I wanted to get into something a little bit more serious. Some of you wanted to hear something a little bit lighter, but this is very serious. Why don't we play the theme week song and we'll discuss it.
It's theme week. It's theme week. It's theme week.
I know. Hold on to your chairs. It's junk food. That's right. That's what our theme is this week. And I really enjoyed our chat with our guest this week, and I think you will enjoy listening to it too when he came down to the Sherpa Chalet and we did a little recording. So I hope you are all doing well. And I know we're just a few weeks away from the holidays. So, and speaking of the holidays, I am working on a Spotify playlist. What does that mean? That means if you have the Spotify app on your tablet or your phone or your computer and you open it up and you look for playlists, and there are public playlists, look for one that says Happy Sherpa Holidays. And I'm just loading a whole bunch of Christmas and Hanukkah songs on there. So if you're having a little holiday get-together, I know it's a little early, but just in case, if you want to have the music ready, you can just play my playlist and it'll have a whole bunch of songs. Right now, I think I have about 70 songs on the playlist, but I want to make it a little bit bigger. So there will be plenty of music to carry you through your day and make your season merry. That's my little Christmas present to all my Rebels of the Sherpalution and all you new listeners. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/Sherpa. And there are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Lots of books to read, and that's probably going to make a nice Christmas present for somebody. I know. We won't talk about the holidays. I know. You don't want to hear about it. I have not even started Christmas shopping yet, so I empathize with you, my friends.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
Who's our guest today? I'll tell you who our guest today is. His name is JP, and he hosts a pretty new podcast, and it's called Junk Foodies, and it's about junk food, of course. You know, and we all love our junk food. Everyone has their selections. And he's got a really interesting podcast, the way that he handles it. And you get a little bit of a lesson about some of the foods that have become so popular in the junk food world. Let's throw back the time machine and listen to the conference we had earlier this week up the Sherpa Chalet with JP of Junk Foodies. So without any further ado, welcome, JP.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jim.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you mentioned, I've been running this podcast on junk food. I consider myself to be a bit of a foodie. I enjoy trying all kinds of different things and enjoying, you know, finer meals. But then I also, you know, don't mind eating a good bag of chips or a candy bar or something like that. So I'm kind of an equal opportunity eater of foodstuffs. I'm certainly not snobby when it comes to food. A fancy meal is great, but sometimes just a grilled cheese sandwich and a bowl of tomato soup or something like that can be great too. So I am a big enjoyer of podcasts, and I work my day job when I'm not recording. Has me on the road a lot. I do a lot of driving, and so I get a lot of podcast time. And I was just bouncing around ideas for stuff that would be fun to do. And a couple of things I really like is learning about other people, and I like talking about food, and I put the two together, and that's how I ended up coming up with the idea.
That's so funny, because you just mentioned what my wife had for dinner the other day. She had a grilled cheese sandwich and tomato soup.
It's a classic combo, isn't it?
There you go. You can't go wrong with it, right? Yeah,
exactly.
You got the crunchy and the hot.
Yes, yes, and the creamy and the buttery.
You're coming from Calgary, Alberta.
Yeah, so I grew up in the United States, actually, but I've been in Calgary just a little over 20 years now, and I'm a dual citizen. So, yeah, I do I've been in Canada now longer than I was in the U.S. when I left.
I'm wondering, are you ever going to do any episodes about the praises of poutine?
You know, that's a very good idea, and we probably should do that because it's a very hot topic on both sides of the border. It's funny you ask. Just earlier this evening, I was recording an episode with a gentleman from Alabama, and the theme of the episode was all Canadian junk food. So we didn't get into poutine, but there's certainly enough material there for us to do another Canadian episode. So we definitely could do a poutine episode.
Okay, since you are more Canadian than I am, could you tell everybody what poutine is, just in case they don't know?
Sure, yeah, I shouldn't take that for granted. So poutine is a French-Canadian dish. It's a dish of French fries, which are then topped with a gravy, with cheese curds, and then on top of that, a gravy. So that kind of melts the cheese curds, it soaks into the fries. For people who've never heard of it, it probably sounds like some kind of a crazy experiment gone wrong in the kitchen, but it's very tasty and it's definitely not healthy. People say it's the good, like, you know, after being drunk food or during being drunk food or heading to get drunk food. Here it's a national obsession.
And I have tried it. I liked it. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, not something you'd probably do every day, but it's kind of like one of those indulgences that fits right into my podcast.
Yeah, the way that I was raised, I'm more spoiled by ketchup on French fries, but I'm not a snob either, so hey, you gotta be open to the new experiences.
I'm a big fan of ketchup as well, and I eat way more ketchup on fries than I do poutine. Poutine I do a couple of times a year, so.
And I guess with the dual citizenship, you get to appreciate the balance probably more than more people.
Exactly. I get to do both and not have to give up my street cred in terms of American or Canadianism.
Yeah, I know you've only so many shows into your first season,
right?
But you had a lot of different themes on your show.
Yeah, so that it's interesting how it's kind of evolved. When I came up with the idea, just to explain to your listeners, each episode we review a beverage, a savory snack, and a sweet snack. And that's kind of our junk food meal, so to speak. And my initial thought was, well, maybe I'll try to pair things. And so, maybe I would have like a grape beverage with a cheesy snack, kind of like a wine and cheese kind of thing. And then maybe a chocolatey dessert because wine and chocolate go together. And so I was thinking of ideas like that, like how to tie it in all together. And then almost by accident, the first episode I recorded was with my brother, who's in the United States. And we were, you know, at the grocery store. And I said, OK, do you have this product? And he was like, no. Do you have this one? No. And so the initial thing I planned on doing completely went out the window. We ended up with three products that we had on both sides of the border. And as we were having this discussion, the three products were Cool Ranch Doritos, a Mexican soda called Jarritos, and a Hershey's bar. And as we were talking about the fun facts about the food and everything, I realized that Hershey's is now primarily manufactured in Mexico. Jarritos is a Mexican soda, and Cool Ranch Doritos, while not made in Mexico, are certainly trying to be Mexican-like. And so I made a joke during the episode that, you know, with Hershey's, we've got an American or Mexican product pretending to be American, and with Cool Ranch Doritos, we've got an American product pretending to be Mexican, and then with Jarritos, it's truly Mexican. So when I came up with the idea of what to call that episode, I called it Mexi-ish. So it's not really Mexican. It's kind of sort of Mexican, sort of there. And then I thought, oh, wouldn't it be fun if every episode I had some kind of theme? And that's what I did. So I did an all pumpkin spice episode. I did an all hot spicy food episode. Most recently, I mentioned I did the Canadian episode we recorded today. I did another episode with all green foods that I called Green Party. So the beverage was green, the savory snack was green, and the treat was green. And so from there, I've just kind of been spitballing ideas of different things I can tie these completely different food groups together in a kind of a common thread, tying them all together.
So since your show is about food, what types of food do you enjoy particularly?
Oh, boy. If we're just talking not necessarily packaged foods, which is a lot of what my podcast covers, but we're talking just types or styles of food. I'm a big fan of Asian flavors, like Thai food is one of my favorite. I really like the clean and fresh flavors there and the spice, the levels of spice and complexity they have. I love sushi and Japanese food. But then again, you know, setting that aside, I also love, you know, a really good burger or a good barbecue joint or you know, seafood. I mean, I'm all over the place. So as I said earlier, I don't discriminate. I'm kind of an equal opportunity hedonist when it comes to eating. But those are some of my favorites.
And what kind of foods would you avoid? Is there anything that you just like, nope, not touching my lips?
Good question. There's not much I'm picky about. I know some people, you know, some people won't eat certain things. I do have bad memories as a child associated with eating liver. So liver is one thing that, try as I might, I just can't. I can't get over my mental hurdle with eating fried liver. I try to avoid, and it's funny considering the topic of my podcast, I try to avoid really unhealthy or like deep fried foods. Sometimes, you know, there's a time and a place for it, and you know, enjoying it in moderation is great. But I think I'd get pretty fed up of, you know, eating like fish and chips, you know, 3 days in a row. By the end of it, I wouldn't want to eat anything. I would just feel sick. So, yeah, really heavy foods. Whereas, you know, something fresh and light and healthy, I could eat all the time and never get sick of. So,
are there any shows that you're planning? I know with the holidays coming up, are you going to do any special holiday food shows?
Yeah, I'm talking to a guy about recording an episode with all holiday themed snacks. We've nailed down, I think, two of the items that we're going to do. The place we're running into difficulty is coming up with something that's specifically associated with Christmas that's savory, because Christmas is such a sweet holiday. You know, you have eggnog, and you have you know, stuff with cranberry in it, and all kinds of different chocolates and things like that. But it's not, unless you're talking Christmas dinner and a ham or a turkey or something like that, it's not something that typically you associate with packaged foods that are savory. There's not like a Christmas potato chip or something like that. So trying to figure that out and trying to be creative in finding a savory food associated with Christmas, that's something we are working on. But yeah, I definitely am going to try to do more shows around those types of themes. I dropped the ball a little bit on doing a Halloween themed episode this year. So better luck next year, I guess. And then I'm also, I noticed on Twitter earlier today, someone was saying, you know, happy National Sandwich Day. And I thought, you know, if I was a little bit more on the ball, I could have done like a sandwich episode, you know, a sweet sandwich and a savory sandwich and that kind of thing. But I'm going to have to load those types of national holiday, or not holidays, but those national food days into my calendar, so I have plenty of time to prepare for them in advance.
You know, I'm thinking maybe when you do your holiday episode, you could probably fill 20 minutes on alternative uses for fruitcake.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, you don't just have to eat it. You can, you know, use it as a weapon. You could use it as a doorstop.
It's absolutely right. I have a little game that was set up for you, and just kind of did this little spur of the moment. And okay. I'm calling this game, Dat Snack is Whack. So, and of course, you know, I'm as hip hop as they come. So that's why that title sounds so wonderful.
Yeah, certainly.
You can tell, right?
We're way hipper than I am.
Were my gold chains giving me away?
Yeah, it has the gold chains and the sideways hat. You know, I just can't pull it off myself.
I'm going to list four types of foods. I'm not going to give their proper names because maybe you might know about them. But one of them you cannot eat.
Okay.
I'll give you the list, and I want to see if you can pick the one that you cannot eat.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right. Round one. We have candied crabs.
Okay.
Fried fish bones.
Okay.
Baked castor beans.
Okay.
And moth larvae.
Huh. Now, am I allowed to phone a friend on this, or I just... So moth larva is, that one strikes me as, well, you know what? I guess if you had to eat an insect, it's just protein and fiber and stuff and fat. So you might not want to eat it, but can't. I won't say moth larva. There's nothing poisonous about moths. Candied crabs, baked castor beans, and what was the second item?
Fried fish bones.
Fried fish bones. Well, I know when I was a kid, I come from a Portuguese background. We eat a lot of fish. And I know I got the occasional fried fish bone. And again, it was just extra calcium. So I don't think it's that. So it's down to the castor bean. That sounds familiar. Or a candied crab. Now, I've never heard of anyone eating a crab shell, so that makes me kind of suspicious. Although, something about the castor bean, it's triggering something in my mind involved with a poison or a toxin or something like that. So I think I'm going to go with the castor bean.
You, sir, are absolutely right.
Am I? Okay.
See, there really is no such thing as baked castor beans. Castor beans are actually a poisonous plant.
Okay.
And all of the other ones are legitimate foods. The moth larvae, they're eaten in Australia, and they're called Wichetti grub. That's the name that they're known by.
Yeah.
The fish bones are known in Japan, I believe, as Iwashi Siabi.
Wow, okay.
The candied crabs, it does include the shell, believe it or not. And it's called Kaniko.
Okay. Sounds Japanese.
There you go. Oh, he scores one for the round one. Okay, and for round two.
All right.
Here we go. We have fried tarantulas.
Okay.
Chocolate brown tail moth.
Okay.
Roasted ants.
Uh-huh.
And sea turtle eggs.
Oh, now this is, I guess this game's going to get harder as we go along, because all of those sound edible. I can't see why you couldn't eat any of them. Well, maybe it's just my bias against spiders and my aversion, but are tarantulas poisonous even? I don't know. I'm going to say the fried tarantulas.
Okay. Actually, they are an actual food.
Are they really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, they are.
Not in
and the roasted ants are queen ants, and it's called Ormigos coloneus. And I believe they're big in Nicaragua.
Interesting.
And the sea turtle eggs are popular in Norway.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The sea turtle eggs are popular in Nicaragua and I believe also Israel. The one that you cannot eat are the chocolate brown tail moth, because the brown tail moth is also poisonous.
I did not know that. Okay, brown tail.
There you go. All right. So one out of two. That's not bad.
All right. I'm tied right now. I'm not ahead. I'm not behind.
Well, that was all that I had. So I just wanted to figure out, throw a couple of tricky things your way and see how you did with it. And you did well, sir.
Thank you. Well, I will stay away from castor beans and brown-tailed moths, especially if they're in the same dish.
Yeah. Don't go in that restaurant.
I will say that several years back, I visited Belize, and there was a day we had a guide take us to the jungle and show us all kinds of different flora and fauna. And we came upon a tree, and there was a certain termite there. And he said, you know, these are edible termites. You can eat them if you were starving in the jungle. It's a good source of protein. And he said, these are really interesting because they have a very distinct flavor. And I was very hesitant. This is a live bug. I was very hesitant to put it in my mouth. But he said, no, give it a try. It's not bad. And so I popped a termite in my mouth. I crunched down on it. And it tasted like mint, which was I did not expect it. It had a very fresh, almost spearminty type flavor. And he said, what do you think it tastes like? And I said, well, it tastes like mint. So he made a joke about not only would it keep you from starving to death, but it keeps your breath fresh too. So I know insects can be eaten. I don't make a regular habit of it, but I have done it.
I know they've made a really big deal about crickets because they're saying that they're very high in protein.
They are, yeah. And they're also very sustainable because you can, you know, they don't take up a lot of room. They don't eat a lot as opposed to like beef protein or chicken protein where, you know, there's environmental costs. Cricket protein, you could have tens of thousands of crickets in a very small space, and they're very high in protein and vitamins and minerals. And yeah, I've seen cricket protein bars and protein powder and I'm sure they can use it the same as you would use like a milk-based protein or a whey protein. So it's kind of interesting.
Do you think that probably as time goes by that we will be leaning towards the tendency to have like a lot of insect-based and different types of animals where maybe it doesn't affect the ecosystem as well?
I think that's probably coming. I know for some people the mental hurdle is a lot to get over, but when I see cricket protein powder at my local grocery store, and this is not an exotic, you know, store, it's just a national brand. I think we're already starting to turn the corner, and you know, as long as it doesn't taste bad, which for all intents and purposes, it just sounds like it tastes like vanilla or chocolate or whatever they flavor it with. People have been eating bugs, you know, as long as humanity has been alive, and if we can sustain ourselves and not have as many environmental damages, you know, I think we probably are headed that way. as well as, you know, you're hearing about things like lab-grown meat and meat alternatives and that kind of thing. I think people are more and more increasingly concerned about what they put on their plate and the costs associated with it beyond just the sticker price.
Have you ever tried any of the plant-based burgers?
You know, I have not. They just recently came up here to Canada. So who is it now? I think Carl's Jr. has a Beyond Meat burger, and A&W, I believe, has one as well. And I've not yet had the opportunity to actually taste it and do a comparison, but you're giving me new show ideas, so I better jot this down really fast.
Okay. Well, you'll always have the recording, so you don't have to worry about writing too fast, right? When you think of how we eat over here in this hemisphere versus how they eat in maybe Europe or Africa, and, you know, sometimes or even in Asia, well, they'll have animals that we have as pets.
Right.
And we look at that with disdain, where to them it's just like, well, this is just another meal. We're eating horse, we're eating dogs, we're eating cats. That's just their way of life. So, like you said, it's like once the acceptance probably comes into vogue to eat certain things that you wouldn't even think about eating, it's probably just going to become like very commonplace meals.
Yeah. Well, and as world population grows, and as, you know, things like crop health and that kind of stuff, you know, if we're feeding animals food that could go to humans, it might become harder and harder to justify a big industry that's feeding, you know, tons and tons of animals. That's not going to change overnight, but I think people are aware of it and looking for ways to have less impact on their environment. So
what would you think is like the best kind of junk food for people who are health conscious? I know it's kind of contradictory, but
yeah, that's a really good question. I there certainly are, I think, junk foods that market themselves as healthy that aren't necessarily healthy. So I think, you know, buyer beware and know what you're getting into. Just because something says low fat, for example, doesn't mean that it's healthy, because it might be really high in sugar. Some of the things I think of in terms of like convenience type foods, there's these roasted seaweed snacks that, to me, you know, taste like you're eating something indulgent. It tastes, kind of like a chip, not quite like a chip, but it's full of vitamins and minerals, and you can get spicy flavors and that kind of thing. If you don't mind, you know, the taste of roasted seaweed, that's something that comes immediately to mind. Nuts can be a convenience store item that can be healthy, depending on the type of oil they're fried in. So definitely look for a dry roasted, if you can, like a dry roasted pistachio or something like that. And that has, you know, vitamins and minerals in it and healthy fats. So those are some of the ones that I think of. It's harder if you're looking for a sweet something that would be a sweet junk food. Although we did an episode recently with a young lady who started a company with things like gummy worms and gummy bears, and they're really high in fiber and really low in sugar. And we tried them, and they tasted just like a gummy bear, except they had like your one little package of it had like your entire day's allotment of fiber in it. So, there are alternatives coming out there. You mentioned the meat alternatives. I think we're finding ways to eat healthier and still indulge and feel like we're having a good time, but not harming ourselves in the process, hopefully.
And if you were to take a snack and redesign it,
okay,
what would your choice be to redesign a snack?
Oh, gosh.
Either adding it flavor.
Yeah.
Adding flavors or, making something more healthy. Any kind of avenue that you'd like to go down.
This time of year, candy corn is kind of a seasonal treat that we see this time of year. And people seem to either love it or hate it. I'm not crazy about it because it just doesn't do much for me. So if you could find a way to make candy corn more interesting, and I don't know how you would do that, but to me, I haven't had it in a long time, but I just remember it tasting just kind of like sweet wax. If you could make it a little more interesting, and I don't know how you would do that, maybe put a little bit of chocolate in there, or a salty component or something, so salty and sweet together, something like that. I feel like candy corn deserves a bit of a redesign. They weren't firing on all cylinders when they released that one. I don't think it was quite ready for market yet. That's just one man's opinion, though.
Considering that they came out with a candy called Necco wafers, which basically tastes like you're eating a box. So
styrofoam.
that's right. You know, I was listening to a podcast about snacks the other day, and I didn't really know this, but Kit Kats are hugely popular in Japan, mm-hmm. and there are 120 different variations of flavors of Kit Kat.
Yeah, we recently on my podcast did a green tea Kit Kat, and you know when I was doing research for the show, they have got some wild flavors of Kit Kat in Japan. You know, everything from banana, which I guess kind of makes sense, banana candy, but also stuff like wasabi and teriyaki and octopus. You know, like it's just hard to understand what that would even like. It's hard to conceive what that would be like, but I guess there's all kinds of different palettes there, and you know they've obviously got a different market. And apparently, to keep people interested, they're always releasing new flavors, and so they can't just kind of rest on their laurels and just settle on chocolate. I guess people get bored there with chocolate pretty fast. I don't understand that myself. I could never get bored with chocolate, but yeah, you're right. There are a lot of different varieties of flavors there.
And these are foods that, believe it or not, you can actually buy online too. These aren't just specifically limited to just available in Japan too.
Oh yeah. I mean, with things like Amazon and stuff, if you're willing to pay for it, I'm sure it wouldn't be cheap, but it certainly is out there. It's available.
Now, since we're, you know, talking about our podcasts.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want people to know about your podcast?
No, I mean, it's still pretty new. So if you listen to an episode or two and the audio quality maybe isn't what you'd come to expect from a more polished, experienced podcast, you know, I hope you give me a bit of a chance because I'm learning as I go along. I'm certainly not using super professional equipment, but I think I am. It's getting better every time I do it. And I guess it's, you know, it's just fun and casual, and it's similar to you and I talking here. It's just two people talking. We talk about our memories about food. I have a series of questions. I play a little bit of a game similar to what you do, where I do blind taste tests and that kind of stuff. So I try to keep it interesting beyond just saying like, so, you know, how many stars does a Snickers get? Like, to me, that's not really interesting. It's more about getting to know the person. And we all have to eat. That's the thing that ties us all together is, you know, every culture has its own spin on food. And we all have memories associated with food, whether it was, you know, Christmas dinner when we were kids or, you know, what we ate for our birthday, that the special cake that we got or what have you. And that's the kind of stuff I'm really interested in is getting to know the different expressions that people have towards food. And then also making it really democratic, small d democratic, and talking about maybe stuff that we're all familiar with. It's not super out of reach. You know, we've all had a bag of chips or a candy bar or something from a vending machine. And so I feel like we can all relate. So it's just a way of, you know, kind of bringing us together, if that doesn't sound too high minded.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think between food and music, those are the two things that tend to bring everybody together.
Very universal. Yeah.
Yeah, regardless of, you know, whatever your taste is.
Right.
And speaking of what your taste is, what are some of the podcasts that you are checking out?
Oh, well, I have kind of a diverse range of tastes. I like interview style podcasts like WTF is a good one. The Moment with Brian Koppelman. He does some really good interviews. So I like interview shows like that. I like review shows where, you know, they review movies, that kind of thing. I'm kind of a movie buff. So there's a great one right now called Unspooled, where the two hosts, they're going through the AFI top 100 movies and they're reviewing them one at a time. So, you know, everything from as recent as like The Shawshank Redemption and as old as like Buster Keaton movies. And so it's kind of cool to hear those movies that the AFI has decided is some of the best movies ever made. Hearing their take on it and whether it deserves to be on the list or not, and kind of what they liked about it, what they didn't. Stuff You Should Know is a great podcast. There's always really interesting. Radiotopia. I love Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History. And I could give you probably a half a dozen more, but I'll stop there. It's I like all kinds of different stuff.
That's great. So Stuff You Should Know is actually also one of my favorites too. That's in my regular listens. I've gone through, I think, close to 600 episodes. I've got still, still another 700 to go, I think.
Yeah. I will say one more, and only because I feel like I owe it some credit, because I think it helped inspire me to create my podcast. There's a podcast called Doughboys, and they review chain restaurants. So everything from McDonald's and Wendy's to Menchie's frozen yogurt to Pizza Hut and Denny's and et cetera, et cetera, any chain restaurant, and they do a review of it. and it's two comedians. So they're way funnier than I am, and they're way more polished than I am. But listening to them, and I just enjoyed listening to these guys talk about food, kind of inspired me to create my own spin on it. So I probably should give them some credit, because had I not been listening to them, I don't know if I would have come up with it on my own. So.
So you give them a tip of the hat or a tip of your toque if you're in Canada.
Definitely a tip of the toque.
Okay, so we've come to the point in the show called Shameless Self-Promotion.
Shameless Self-Promotion.
Right.
And this is where you can let our listeners know how they can hear your plugged stuff, like your podcast and any other information that you'd like to share with them.
Awesome. So the podcast is Junk Foodies, Junk, J-U-N-K, Foodies, just like the word food with an I-E-S on the end of it. And we are basically on all the major podcast apps that you'd find us there. You can find me at Twitter at Junk Foodies Pod, and same at Facebook. And if they want to send me an email, want to be a guest on the show, or have an idea, or have any questions, I do set aside time to read listener mail. So if someone has a question, like, what's the best junk food you ever ate at the county fair or whatever, and then I'll read it online, and or I'll read it as I'm recording. I'll answer it, and my guest will answer it. For that email address, it's junkfoodiespod@gmail.com.
And thank you so much. And again, the name of the show is called Junk Foodies, and his name is JP. He's the host. Give him a try, just like you might some of these snacks.
That's perfect. Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, and I've enjoyed listening to some of your episodes as well. So I guess I should have said one of the other podcasts I'm listening to is yours.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You know, I brushed up on my Sherpa skills looking for podcasts about junk food. And, there really aren't a lot that are very current right now. So, maybe when you're on your podcast app, you can do your own little search and see if there's something that you like. But I'm sure you will like Junk Foodies with JP. And it's definitely worth checking out. And it's fascinating. And you will definitely learn a little bit about junk food, because JP really provides a lot of good information on some of the foods that you probably never thought that much about. And that kind of gave me an idea for this week. Rather than doing Sherpa suggestions, I found this article online on a wonderful site called How Stuff Works, and the article was called How Junk Food Works. And this is a segment of it written by a guy named Dave Ruse, so we're giving credit, of course, to the author. And this is just a little section that I'd like you to hear about, and maybe here's a little bit of trivia for you. Andrew F. Smith, a food historian and author of Fast Food and Junk Food, an Encyclopedia of What We Love to Eat, credits the industrialization of flour mills in the 1820s with the launch of the junk food era. Innovations in milling technology and improvements in transportation brought inexpensive white flour to the masses. Even today, cheap white flour is the foundation of low-fiber, high-carbohydrate burger buns, cookies, and snack cakes. I'm getting hungry just reading this. During the Civil War, in the 1860s, troops grew accustomed to eating from cans and jars of mass-produced rations. They came home craving the same convenience and familiar tastes. The rise of the industrial factory drew people away from the farms and into the city. Food vendors parked their carts outside the factory gates, offering the first fast foods to hungry workers. The first great American junk food was Cracker Jack. We all know Cracker Jack. A salty sweet blend of popcorn, molasses, and peanuts introduced by brothers Frederick and Louis Ruickheim at the Chicago World's Fair in 1893. The recipe wasn't a novelty, but the Ruickheim brothers' true genius was marketing. Prize in every box and their trademark wax seal packaging. By 1916, Cracker Jack was the best-selling snack in the world. I did not know this. The history of soft drinks goes all the way back to 17th century Europe, where carbonated water was first mixed with lemon juice and honey for a bubbly sweet concoction. In America, the first batches of Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola syrup were mixed at pharmacy counters in the 1880s and 1890s and were sold as refreshing, healthy elixirs to aid in digestion. The emergence of fast food was fueled by the rise of the automobile culture and the suburbanization of American cities in the 1950s. Originally a convenient novelty, ordering a burger and fries at the drive-thru soon became an American institution. The second half of the 20th century witnessed explosive growth in the variety, affordability, and ubiquity of junk food and fast food. Innovations in manufacturing, packaging, Transporting and marketing junk food, particularly to children, turned a rare treat into a steady diet for millions. And all the big companies employ an army of food scientists who know just how to get us coming back for more. I don't think that true words were ever spoken. So that's your little piece of knowledge in place of this week's Sherpa suggestions. But like I said, definitely check out JP's show, Junk Foodies. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to Too Many Podcasts. I really appreciate you guys coming back every week and listening. And if you're a new listener, hey, thanks for stopping by. Hope you come by next week. We'll be doing shows through the end of the year, of course, and into 2020. And also in 2020, as I mentioned earlier, we will be launching a second podcast called The Expert Factory. And that's where we will have experts giving you expert advice on some of the things that you like to do in life. Just get to do things a little bit better. This is Jim, the podcast Sherpa, hoping that you had so much fun. And I'd like to thank JP once again for coming on the show. And like I said, check out his podcast, Junk Foodies. And it's on a lot of your favorite podcast apps, just like this one. Oh, the Sherpa's getting giggly again. And I don't know why. Oh, what else was I going to say? Yes, and again, if you have a Spotify account, if you have the app on your phone, take a look at the playlists and look for Happy Sherpa Holiday. You can get a whole bunch of Christmas music and a little bit of Hanukkah music mixed in with it as well. It's absolutely free to check out and to play. It's just a little gift from the Sherpa to his wonderful listeners. Again, I couldn't be doing this without you guys paying attention. And just recently, I passed over 1,000 listens, and I know that doesn't sound like a lot, considering that some of these other shows that you're listening to have hundreds of thousands and even millions. We're only about 6 months old, and these things take time, and I don't advertise much. But that's okay. We're building slowly, and as long as we get a lot of loyal fans and loyal listeners who want to keep coming back, like I said, all you need to do is just tell one person. Say, hey, I'm listening to this podcast. Check it out. And it tells you about other podcasts that you can check out, and you can get to know the podcasters who appear on it. Nice, simple mission, right? I think so, too. Okay, I guess I can wrap it up for tonight and close up the recording studio in the Sherpa Chalet. Mr. Bruce, it's been a long day. Please show them the door. Bye, everybody, and viva la Sherpalutions! See you next time!
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Sherpalution! Viva la Sherpalution! Yeah, I'll come back now you're here.